have your attention, please call this municipal meeting of the Ellensburg Town Council to order. Ask if you all would stand, and Brenda will lead us through, open up with a word of prayer, and immediately following the word of prayer, I'd ask for a moment of silence for Senator Gene Whalen and for one of our firefighters, Mike Sinisak.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, teach us to put to good account whatever talents thou hast lent us, to discuss with patience and zeal the municipal affairs which have come before us this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you and good evening. Welcome once again to the Municipal Council for the Town of Ellensburg. I would at this time, beginning with our agenda, ask members of council, has anyone any pecuniary interest as it relates to this evening's agenda? Councilor Davies?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a conflict of interest with 15.1 and 15.2, the
That has been identified and so noted as such. If during the course of this meeting one finds themselves in conflict, notification to the chair identifying the conflict, and we certainly will have it entered into the minutes. That brings us to our special in camera, or I should say that brings us to the first item on our agenda.
The minutes of the previous meeting, there are three sets before council.
With council's pleasure relative to those previous minutes, Deputy Mayor Southern.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the approval of the minutes as listed.
Moved by Deputy Mayor Sutherland, supported by Councilor Sutton. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
Brings us to recognitions. Diamond Jubilee recipients William Gibb and David Scott.
We've got two Diamond Jubilee recipients this evening. First being Dave Scott. Just bear with me for a moment. Dave Scott is one of the strongest supporters of our youth in the town of Ellensburg. He is a retired teacher with the Greater Essex County District School Board and was known throughout the community as Coach Scott. He was the athletic director at General Amos High School for many years, and after his school hours, Dave donated his time to coaching various sports, including basketball, football, track, and field. He was an excellent ambassador to Amherstburg by bringing home many trophies and putting our town on the map for academic, athletic, and community excellence. Dave was also an active member of General Amos PTA and was a strong advocate for the parents, staff, and students during the times of sharing and the eventual loss of one of our community high schools. Dave was a driving force to convince the council of the day to build and maintain one of the best track and field complexes in Southern Ontario. He was involved and very successful in fundraising to complete this project, and during the past year have approached council and the school board to join forces in an effort to bring the track and field to its original glory. Dave has produced a great deal of athletic individuals who achieved outstanding recognition locally, provincially, and nationally, and many receive athletic scholarships and are recognized worldwide. Dave had been credited in seeking out those students who were lonely and headed for trouble and gave them confidence to pursue their dreams. Many of these individuals turned their lives around and became community leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the presentation that's going to be presented to Dave Scott, and you have an opportunity to give him a warm round of applause. The next recipient is Bill Gibb. Mayor Gibb is a man who has contributed so much to the residents of Amherstburg. Bill never forgot his humble beginnings and fought for the rights of all people. Bill is a retired postal worker after serving many dedicated years with Canada Post. While there, Bill served as president of the union and fought to obtain fair and equitable wages and working conditions for his fellow union brothers and sisters. Bill served as a Amherstburg town councilor, as the deputy reeve, and as a reeve, and was elected as mayor for our town from 1986 to 1997. He also served on numerous committees throughout the years, and during his term as mayor, Bill was successful with many initiatives, especially in promoting a healthy and safe community. Bill was a strong supporter of the King's Navy Yard Park and Centennial Park. He strongly advocated providing and maintaining athletic facilities for our youth in order to maintain good health and keep them out of trouble. Bill had a very good working relationship with the town businesses and corporations, and his warm, open-door policy was deeply admired. He encouraged the seniors in our community to remain active and promoted our community center and greater community involvement. He had a good working relationship with the Chamber of Commerce, the BIA, and many nonprofit organizations. In his younger day, Bill coached several teams, and he was highly respected by his players and parents. In his younger days, he also played for the Beatnik ball team. One of the things about Mayor Gibb is that he not only was he a mayor here, and you have to commend people who give of their service to the community, but he was in a position where he worked for Canada Post, and so if they couldn't come to council and raise a concern, they would always catch him at the wicket at the post office, so he couldn't get away from that. Bill Gibb has always been a loving family man and a community advocate, and he is truly deserving of the Queen's Jubilee Medal. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Bill Gibb. Come forward, please. Bill and Dave.
Thank you. first of all, I would like to thank the mayor and council for this prestigious medal here. You know, I think we individuals get it, and I know I worked with Dave Scott on many projects with the town, according to the NIP program, and which a lot of Navy Yard Park came of that program. But these programs all came from the community. That's who drove them, and we just tried to carry the ball for them. So I think I'd like to share this with the community, if I don't break it. Because, you know, that's what makes this community what it is today. You know, it's not us, it's the people that live here and get out into the community, and they go to meetings, and that's how I got started. Bob Sutherland, he's no longer with us, and a lot of people aren't today, said, come to a meeting tonight, Bill, and that was the start of many, many meetings in the town of Amherstburg, and we met with not only the seniors, and we had the senior thing, the house forum to participate in the community, but it was the youth, too, that we involved, and they wanted a track and field complex and items of that nature, and the people from the community wanted sewers in their neighborhood, and I can remember Ralph Jimmerfield used to live in Amherstburg back on Gore Street, and I got a picture of him rolling his boat down the street because it flooded in the rainstorms, and it wasn't for driving, it was for rowing. So, and we accomplished these things, but the input came from the people, and we have to take these, take them seriously. They're the ones that are paying the bill, and to try to do what we think is best for the community, and they know a lot about there what is best, because they're living it every day. So again, I would like to thank the community, and I'd like to thank all them people over the years that I worked with. The Bob Sutherlands, you know, I'm still on the Roto Committee. You'll never get off of that. I guess that's for life. And Dave Scott, too, you know. We worked together in a lot of different programs. And the credit union, started up a credit union. Went to another meeting, and there I go again. Spent many years on that, the Amherstburg Community Credit Union, and went on and on and on. So, you know, it's good to get involved, and it's good to work hard. And thank you.
I'd like to begin by thanking those persons or persons who nominated me for this award. I really, really appreciate it. But I hope they will bear with me as I want to dedicate this award to all the former and the present coaches at General Amherst, all the former and present coaches in the elementary schools, all the former coaches and present coaches in the community that put their time together to make this town what it is. I think without their benefit, your town would not be what it is. I personally want to thank those individuals and coaches who have helped me over the years, over 40 years of coaching. I still love it, and I thank God every day that I still have my health, and it gives me the inspiration to keep coaching. And maybe I'll still be coaching when I drop into my coffin. I don't know. But we'll see how that goes. And I want to thank those people who have helped me over the years. I've always told kids, never training rules, nothing like that. All I've ever said to them was, as Jesus would say, do unto others as you have them do unto you. And it's better to give than to receive. And a quote from John Milton, who was seeking the truth, and he was seeking God. And he said, and it applies to everything in life, he said, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Drink deep, or taste not the Pierian spring. And I give that to every kid I coach, every student athlete, that those athletes seek to be the best. Now, obviously, some aren't as good as others, but they reach their own goals, and that's all I care about. I don't care about winning. That isn't the important thing. If you're good enough to win, that's great. But I have the best athletes that I've ever coached are the ones that don't have a lot of talent, but have worked their butts off over the years to become the best that they can be, and they're proud when they leave. I also use Plato. Plato said there's a perfect way to do things. We never reach it, but what is the perfect pass? What is the perfect tackle? What is the perfect run? 1,500 meters, 800 meters. We're still searching for that. All these years we'll be continually searching until we reach that. And hopefully we reach it someday. And last but not least, I say to them that you are a person who wants happiness in life. Therefore, seek out as many activities as you can and be good at as many activities as you can be. And you will be happy in this lifetime. I would also like to thank Ron, and where's Joel? Joel's not here tonight. You have to cover these meetings. Okay. Ron and Joel, for all their support over the years. Been great. And lastly, all the student athletes that I've had a pleasure of coaching, I got to thank them. Especially in my later years, these guys, Brandon and Megan and Sam and all the people who are at national levels, and they're supporting this town as well. They come back and support this town. I want to thank everybody that's ever helped me, and that's all I care about, and that's all I can say, and I thank you very much for this award. Thank you.
On the agenda. Councillor Sutton, if you would, please.
And I move that the recognitions be received.
Been moved, supported by Councillor Peel. Further discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is then carried.
Our next recognition, Todd Hewitt, CRS, Certified Road Supervisor, Certification, and Michael Woodcroft Memorial Award for the best mark in the TJ Mahoney Road Course.
Todd, it's Todd. Are you here, Todd? Yeah.
Hard to see him.
Little guy.
Let me read the
short guy.
Todd just wanted to prove that he was doing something beneficial when he went away on these courses.
He did.
But anyways, Todd, first of all, the Association of the Ontario Road Supervisors, and this is to certify that Todd has been registered in accordance with the certified road supervisor and the initials with all of its rights and privileges and responsibilities in the province of Ontario and is given under the corporate seal of the association. Also, he received for those the Memorial Michael Woodcroft Memorial Award to recognize outstanding achievement and completion of the TJ Mahoney Road School, and this was presented to Todd just recently on February the 25th, and of course from the town in recognition of achieving the designation of Certified Road Supervisor from the Association of Ontario Road Supervisors and for receiving the highest average marks for the completion of the TJ Mahoney Road School, and that is from the council of the town of Amherstburg. So So, you want me to carry these over to
my car?
I'll probably get a hernia carrying these. But anyway, Todd, we're very proud of what you are doing. We're so pleased with the work you are doing for the town.
A lot of hardware here.
Entertaining with council's pleasure. Councilor Sutton?
We'll move that recognition be received as well.
Been moved, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. There's no discussions. All in favor? Opposed motion is then carried.
That brings us to presentations. Our first presentation will are unable to attend, so that will be a later council meeting. And the next item is 10.2, Amherstburg Accessibility Advisory Committee. Committee member Valentino Mancini, if council could please refer to report item 20.1.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, council. Mayor Winghurst. My name is Valentino Mancini, and I'm one of the committee members at the Amherstburg Accessibility Committee, Advisory Committee. And I'd just like to introduce the members of our committee for the year 2012-2013 year. It's our chair is Ken Hudson. He's unable to attend tonight, but he's our chair and chairs the meetings, the monthly meetings, which we meet once a month, the last Thursday of each month. And the next individual is Angela Kelly, Karen Bondi, myself, John Mitchell, Marie Allen, and Councillor Bart DiPasquale is our councillor that sits on the meeting, and also our staff liaison, which is Paula Parker. So this is our accessibility committee plan, which is posted on the town's website, which is accessible for our residents and everyone. We ask that our plan be adopted for tonight and for the future. This is the title page for the plan. So, the committee is asking that the council adopt the multi-year accessibility plan as presented, which incorporates the latest integrated accessibility standard regulation of the Ontario government. Basically, the accessibility standard regulation is a regulation that the province of Ontario would like to adopt by the year 2031. And what it is they seek that by that year, the majority of individuals in the population of Canada would reach the age of 55 years of age. So they are seeking more accessibility in our built environments. So each year we assess buildings in the town of Amherstburg, and with this we have a checklist of certain issues that we see deemed important for accessibility within our buildings. And as a committee, as we delegate certain buildings for individuals, we come together at the end within a month and we assess these buildings and find a top priorities which we find that are in need of accessibility updating. And the next five slides are issues within our town that we find that need in repairs and updating for accessibility. The first issue is the Visitors Information Center washer. It was deemed that we found that there's missing grab bars. The water closet toilet is too low to the ground, and there are exposed piping underneath the sink, which could interfere with knee clearance for individuals within wheelchairs. The next issue is the Toddy Jones washrooms, which again are too low to the ground. Here we do have grab bars, but it's very difficult for an individual to have to move over from the transfer side onto the toilet. And also the Malden Park washrooms, which on the exterior you can see here, the concrete pad and the gravel deem it a barrier to get into the washroom for people in wheelchairs. And also the various playgrounds, where we've noticed that certain playgrounds have areas where they can't be mobile by a wheelchair or a mobile device by an individual, therefore assessing the playgrounds for people with disabilities to enjoy them. And our last issue is the new arena, which we find that there are some complaints of a guard down the center rail of the rink. And we're having that citizens are finding it that it takes a long time for them to get up or have the inability to have the stairs without some sort of rail. This example is a possible solution that we found in other arenas in local municipalities and within the province of Ontario, that they do issue a guardrail down the center aisles of the rinks. This is the WFCU in Windsor. And this is also another arena, the one that we're probably most familiar with, the Air Canada Centre in Toronto, Ontario. This is the Miracle League washroom, which is currently has a change table at the right hand, which is a fixed change table. And this, in the event that there is an individual using the Miracle League playground area, at certain situations, they need assistance to be changed on the change table. But however, we are having complaints that the individual assisting the person with a need has a hard time changing the individual. Therefore, a possible solution to this would be an adjustable change table for the Miracle League washroom. So on your right, you have a more of a mobile device and more of a fixed position, which is more of an electronic situation, which allows it to move up and down vertical. That concludes my
Any questions of council at this time? Councillor Pouget, followed by Councillor Davies.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Dean. Dean, have we budgeted for any of these items in the 2013 budget? Especially for the washrooms, if we could just talk about that right now.
Mr. Mayor, yes, the washrooms in Miracle Diamond have been under assessment for we budgeted in the operating budget to cover those types of expenses. Some of the items are company, so not all of them have been budgeted for, but the Miracle League bathroom definitely have.
Go ahead.
And thank you. Regarding the railings, I discussed this with you a couple weeks ago, and I pointed out the railings at the at the University of Windsor, the indoor track facilities, that they seem to be somewhat compatible with the ones that the accessibility committee just showed us, and that there was still enough room that people could get out of the way if somebody was going to pass. I know that we had a discussion on it previously, and the fire department stated that it wasn't wide enough for us to have a railing down the center. So could you discuss that more, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not aware of why exactly, and I'm not going to speak authoritatively on why the University of Windsor bleachers, are permitted. I do know that they're mobile bleachers. They don't stay in place. They're not a fixed concept. So I'm assuming, and I can make assumptions about that kind of possibility, that's why not. I do know that for several years in Sarnia, we sought similar solutions to what is being sought here in Amherstburg, at the UCT complex, and we were restricted for the exact same reasons, and the fact that the fixed aisles are too narrow to allow for a fire exit. The issue, as I understand it, and I know Steve can probably speak a little more authoritatively on it as well, I've also consulted with Brad as well. The issue is that anytime you put anything in that aisle, you're creating an obstruction to a fire exit. And again, after several years of attempting to solve the problem in Sarnia, we were unable to find a modern solution of any kind that would allow for meeting the building code, allow for the proper fire exit, and still give people an assistance down the stairs. And we looked for years.
I just wish that we would have known this because this has been talked about on four different occasions here, and it keeps coming back. Certainly, we'll take that information that you have put forward this evening, Valentino, and we'll give it to the proper people so they can review it once more, and we can come back with a definitive response on what we can or cannot do relative to that item as it relates to the railing. Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Val. Val, are you familiar with any types that might be legal to use in this situation?
Thank you, Bart. I think the solutions that we presented here, I mean, if you look at the Maple Leaf Gardens or the ACC Center, the amount of people that are actually occupied there, I mean, you could see that I'm not 100% sure of the width of the aisleway there, but I mean, it seems to me that they've incorporated that within their arena. Now, if we go back to...
we're going to stay on yeah. Go ahead.
Now, if we go back to the width of our arena, I mean, to me it exceeds almost, I mean, this is plus or minus 6 feet. And I've seen some arenas that where it was tighter than the aisleway that's presented within our situation.
We'll do an investigation and have definitive. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I measured the aisleway today compared to the Ontario Building Code. For a single width aisle, I need 1.1 meters for the egress from those seats in accordance to the Ontario Building Code. The aisle that is there is not going to allow two aisles between the railings at 1.1 meters. In order to make a center aisle meet the Ontario Building Code with respect to that, you would have to eliminate one row of seats and widen the aisles in order to get a railing down the center. And that was based upon the Ontario Building Code and the occupant load of each aisle.
Thanks, Steve. Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, just another suggestion. I see that we've been spending most of the discussion on public buildings, but in fact, I do have a concern now working with people with disabilities in their homes and apartments. I'm just asking the question whether or not you had an opportunity to look at a number of not-for-profit apartment buildings or even private apartment buildings or homes, because I find that as people are aging, those stairs that look so luxurious up to their first flight have now become a major hazard and a major expense to access their living. And I'm just wondering also if we have or we could have consider a building code so that not just a certain amount of accessibility apartment buildings, but that all the apartment doors would access an electric wheelchair going, because otherwise that person is isolated in their own apartment building and can't move into a neighbor's to go visit with neighbors because of their wheelchair or other device can't get through anybody else's doors besides your own.
Perhaps we'd allow Paula to respond to that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the Accessibility Committee is only required to audit the municipal buildings, so we have not actually looked at any of the personal apartment buildings.
But maybe, Steve, in your experience, when we have buildings like that put up, aren't there standards or specifications they must comply with?
Thank you, Mr. Mary. In most cases, single-family dwellings are not required to be accessible. The building code is a fluid document, and there are studies right now with respect to public housing where a certain amount of units will be required to have fully accessible suites. For commercial buildings, It's a little bit different. There's accessibility for every floor, which is a barrier-free corridor. Barrier-free access has to be provided for the whole building. But for single-family dwellings and apartments, it's not quite there yet in the Ontario Building Code.
Follow up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So through you, but there's no reason why Amherstburg couldn't be more advanced on that and look at our own building codes to enhance the building codes so that apartment doors and corridors within an apartment could be wheelchair accessible, whether they're deemed for a wheelchair accessible resident or not. Is that correct?
Municipal council is not permitted to go over and above the Ontario Building Code. It's a provincial document. You could put building bylaws in place, but they would be subject to challenge. And if they were challenged, the chance of succeeding in any court of law would be very minimal.
So the ideal avenue to take would then be to make a petition to your member of provincial parliament and then go from there. With Councillor Player. Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you. Valentino, if you could please convey back to the committee membership our thanks as council for the work that you do. Certainly working with that group over the years and with various other community groups, we've been able to make some significant investments in Amherstburg that have made it more accessible and more friendly. And we certainly are committed to that process in the long haul, so I'm in full support of your plan. And if we can find a solution at the arena, we'll certainly try to implement one. And as the mayor stated, it's been before us a number of times, and we seem to kind of spin our wheels on it, but rest assured, we're in full support of the work that you guys do. So, thanks.
Thank you, John.
Council, pleasure. Councilor DiPasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a motion.
Before you do that, would council agree with bringing forward the report? Report 21.1, Councilor Sutton?
Also move to bring that report forward.
Councilor Pion supports that motion. There's no discussions. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Back to you, Councilor DiPasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I move that the presentation and the multi-year report by the Accessibility Committee be adopted and received, and that the deficiencies in the reports presented be referred to the appropriate departments of the town for future examination, and then report back to council.
Is there a supporter for that motion? Councilor Cougie supports that motion. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you both very much for the presentation.
That brings us to reports under development services. Item 15.1, development agreement, part of lot 5, concession 1, parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, and reference plan 12R25208, municipally known as 721 Front Road South, Malden Properties, Inc.
With council's pleasure, Councillor Sutton.
I'll move that report be received, that we approve the development agreement for 721 Front Road South, and further that bylaw 2013-24 be read 3 times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
There's supporter for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland, discussions? Councillor Sutton, followed by Councillor Peel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report and the one that follows are real good news stories for the town of Amherstburg, and certainly something that's been in the works for a long time. And although they can't speak to it, I'll speak to it. Our treasurer and our esteemed colleague, Councillor Davies, have worked long and hard on the family health team planning stage to get things moved to this state where we can actually begin the construction. You know, the headlines today, we're talking about healthcare and the aging population and how we need to change the way we do business. And family health teams are certainly a part of that. And so these people deserve to be commended for their hard work over and above their usual work with the municipality. So my hats are off to them and all concerned, and I'll look forward to the day that we have the ribbon cutting on that fine establishment.
Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I do want to commend the committee that worked so hard to get this up and running. And also, I just have a couple questions regarding this, if I'm free to ask. And I think it to you, Rebecca.
Yes.
I know that it states that it's going to be a brick stone stucco structure. Will it be the color scheme be in the same line as what Seasons has, or do you know that?
Yes, I think so. The plan that I've seen, the renderings, look similar to Seasons.
Okay.
Yeah, but Cindy Prince is here from the Amoco Group. She may wish to respond to this question as well.
Cindy, would you do that for us, please?
Yes, we'd ask the architect to design this building not so it would try to replicate Seasons, but be complementary to it. And so it won't be exactly the same, but it'll be in colors and hues that are complementary to the structure.
Okay. And
that's
a
follow-up.
Yes. I know that it says that it's just limited parking in the front of the building. Do you know how many parking spaces that would include?
Over and above what's called for.
But it's not in front.
Mayor, may I?
Yes, please, Rebecca.
Okay. From the site plan, if you take a look at the first drawing that's attached, I counted 14 that would be considered in the front of the building.
Okay, thank you.
So 14 out of 73.
Okay. Councilor Pilon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We figure I'm also make Cindy work a little bit tonight. It was just on Schedule E, and that's the site plan. Just one question, and again, I thank you for, we've been waiting for this for a long time, and it's good to see it, eh? But, no buts. Just on the handicap accessible, I don't know, it looks to me, couldn't it have been closer to the building? Like they're across the roadway. Now, is that the way they design them today? I'm just asking.
Actually, that's a sort of really good question. The reason they're across the driveway is that's actually the area that's closest to the door, but also allows us to provide the parking spaces to be deeper. And so for an accessible or barrier-free parking space, the requirement is that it be greater in depth than a traditional parking space. So if we put it in row in front of the building, then they jut out and cause an obstruction in the aisle. If we move them across, we're able to push them into the abutting lands so that it doesn't cause any obstructions. Yeah.
Well, I thank you. That's a very,
okay.
I appreciate
Brilliant.
The answer.
Thank you. And let me just say that, as it's been stated by the council members, it's been a long time coming. It's no fault of Cindy Prince. The fact of the matter is that the persistence of the family health team themselves is what we are realizing today. So as Councillor Sutton has said, it's important that we recognize the hard work that had been put into this, and we're going to reap tremendous benefits in the very near future. And we have one of the former members in our midst today is Paul Hertel, who had worked very hard to bring this to a reality today. So you all deserve our heartfelt appreciation for your hard work and your determination in bringing this to where it is today. What is council's pleasure?
The motion is on the floor.
Motion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Item 15.2, removal of holding zone, 721 Front Road South, part of Lot 5, Concession 1, being parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, and reference plan 12R25208.
What's your pleasure with this? Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Your Worship. I will move the report by Rebecca Belange regarding removal of holding zone for Part 5, Lot 5, Concession 1, Parts 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 12R-25208, known as 721 Front Road South, be received. Council approved the application for Malden Properties, Amoco Properties, for the removal of the holding zone for the property at Part 5 of Lot 5. Part of Lot 5, Concession 1, being Part 1, 2, and 3, 4, 12R-25208, municipally known as 721 Front Road South, and further that bylaw number 213-25 being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 1999-52, as amended, be taken as having read three times, and finally passed by mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
We're supported for that, Councillor Puget. Further dialogue? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Brings us to reports on our engineering and infrastructure, water and wastewater rates, billing rate increases.
It's council's pleasure.
I'm sorry, it's up there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the report by Lou dated March 4th, 2013 regarding water and wastewater rates, billing rate increases, signing bylaw 213-21 be received, and council concur with the recommendation to implement a water and wastewater rate increase effective June 1, 2013, pursuant to the 2009 Water and Wastewater Study, report by CH2M Hill, the Public Works Department and Treasury, and further bylaw 2013-21, being a bylaw for fixing rates for the supply of water and fixing rates for the collection of water treatment and wastewater be taken as three times, and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same there too.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Pino supports that motion. Discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 17, reports under CAO's office, CWAT's Trail Initiative, Melosh Road Segment Upgrade.
Councilor Pino.
Thank you. I move the report by Tony DiTomasa, dated February 20th, be received, and that council would direct administration to upgrade the segment of Melosh Road as indicated in the CWAT's plan. As a sign route to paved shoulder. And that council direct administration to recommend to the CWAT steering committee that the segment of Melosh Road be completed as a paved shoulder and faculty type under the CWAT's plan in 2013. And further, that any surplus realized be allocated to engage in pre-engineering and estimate investigation work for all future pathways indicated in the five-year plan.
They're supported for that motion. Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussions? Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. Through you to Tony. Tony, if this is approved, what timeline are we looking at for it to be completed?
Through you, Mayor Hirst, to Councillor Puget. The recommendation, council's recommendation to pave the shoulder of Melosh Road is going to the CWAT's committee in the middle of this month. After that point, the committee is going to vote on it. If we get approval at that committee, construction will take place in midsummer.
And you're talking about the section of Melosh between Alma and Simcoe?
Correct.
Yeah. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Reports under Treasury, 18.1, 2013 Budget Approval Report.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move the report be received and we move the recommendations as listed.
Supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Further discussions? Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's behooves us to break out some of these numbers a little bit, knowing that the overall rate is, rate impact, I should say, is 2.38% when everything's factored in. It's kind of a wonder how we ever arrived there. But I think we start with the operation side of things, and administration did a wonderful job this year in terms of looking at our contractual obligations to both the Police Association, the IBEW, the initial first fruits of the org review and being able to decrease staff by, I believe, and I stand to be corrected, a couple of positions. And hopefully as that org review continues to be implemented, there'll be more opportunities for savings. But to come in with an operational budget with all those stressors on it, that was less than 1%, is quite an accomplishment, and they deserve some commendment for that. On our municipal portion, about another 2.7% then is attributed to much needed and long overdue capital projects that our residents have asked for and certainly deserve. And then beyond that, I think what's easy to get lost, but I believe it's a real watershed movement, is the, or moment I should say, is the implementation of that working capital reserve and the life cycle replacement reserve. Those, as our treasurer spoke to in a previous meeting, are going to help us in terms of less reliance on long-term debt financing and to put away monies for our capital assets so that in the future, when they need to be replaced, we'll have a pot of money to dip from. And similar to councils of previous administrations, when they implemented those reserves for both our computers and our fleets, that's really had quite the stabilizing effect on the budget. And so I think now is the time to definitely do that and move forward. It's certainly fiscally prudent. It's the right thing to do. And when you can come in with an overall impact of 2.38% and accomplish all those things, I think it's a budget that I can certainly support.
Further discussions? Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to compliment the Treasury Department and everyone who worked on this. I think that it is, down the road, it's going to be a real treasure, and I think we're going to be an envy of a lot of the other municipalities who have really tried to reduce services so that they could keep a budget that might be lower than this, but not have the infrastructure qualities that we've got. So I'm really happy with it.
On the motion, all in favor?
Can we get a recorded vote?
Well, certainly.
Councillor Davies?
Support.
Councillor DePasquale?
Support.
Councillor Pilon?
Support.
Councillor Puget?
Support.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland?
Support.
Councillor Sutton?
Support.
Mayor Hurst?
Support.
Motion carries unanimously.
Just on that, let me just say also, echoing what has been stated here this evening, but administration has worked very hard in bringing this budget to where it is today, and certainly I have to compliment council who worked hard and stayed long at the various meetings to bring it to where we're at. But Councillor Sutton talked on it. A couple of the key initiatives here are simply the life cycle replacement and the capital reserve. Those in itself are big initiatives that's going to, as Councillor Davies said, while it costs us money, what it's doing is putting us forward and maintaining the level of services that our residents have come to expect and also deserve. And so when we look at these two initiatives themselves, we keep our fingers crossed in the hopes that we don't have to draw from them for some time in the future. So I think it's a job well done, and I look forward to, by the latter part of July, that we will have a base budget in place for the year 2014.
Brings us to item 18.2, Assessment Review Board Agent Appointment to File Complaints on behalf of the Town of Amherstburg.
It's Council's pleasure relative to that report. Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report of Paul Beneteau, dated February 15, 2013, regarding a bylaw to appoint MTE Paralegal Professional Corporation as agent for the Town of Amherstburg be received, and further that bylaw number 213-20 be in a bylaw to authorize specific complaints to the Assessment Review Board be taken as having read it three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign saying thereto.
There's support for that motion. Councillor Davies supports that motion. Discussions, if any, Councillor Pilon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if I totally understand this fully. How does it differ from MPAC?
No.
This is a new structure for us, correct?
No, municipal tax equity has been working for the town for a number of years with regard to defending any assessment appeals that have come forward
to the
assessment
report.
That's correct. We have to do it on an annual basis.
We do it every year.
Okay.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Paul. Paul, we've used these people and been successful in gaining back some extra money.
One of the largest ones that we've recently encountered was the General Chemical Appeals. And Municipal Tax Equity, because of their expertise with regard to assessments, and how it affects all the different property classes, they've been able to defend us to help reduce the impact of any appeals that would have, because I mean, typically these property owners now, large corporations, a lot of them have tax consultants as well, who are very, very familiar and very astute when it comes to the assessment act. And we need also, we need someone who can defend our position as well.
And that's been a position taken by council for many years. And all you have to do is look at what's taking place in Windsor with Ford Motor Company and the casino and those other places, you can see the impact they have on your tax base. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Reports under Human Resources and 18.1 Expressions of Care Policy.
Council's pleasure, Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move the report be received and that Council approve the Expressions of Care Policy as presented.
We're supportive for that. Councilor Puget supports that. Discussion? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 19.2, Long Service Award Policy.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the report by Carol Bendo, dated February 21st, 2013, regarding the revised Long Service Award Policy be received and further the Council adopt the revised Long Service Award Policy that recognizes Town of Amherstburg employees and Council members as presented.
Supported by Councilor Davey. Further discussion? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Reports under Legislative Services. 20.1 was dealt with above, so 20.2, Amherstburg Firefighters Annual Volleyball Tournament.
What's your pleasure relative to the request? Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move that report be received and that Council concur with the request.
The move supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. All in favor? Motion is carried.
Item 21.1, Consent Reports. There's one item before Council.
Councilor Pilon.
I move that the consent reports be received.
You're supportive for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Any discussion? All in favor? Again, motion is unanimous.
22, consent correspondence. Two items before council.
Councilor DePasquale.
I move that the correspondence be received. Items A and B.
You're supportive for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Further discussions? Councilor Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding item B on the sponsorship letter from Erica Fryer, this is exactly the same type of thing that came in front of council from Brendan Speller, and council at that time decided that those on council that wished to contribute on their own could go ahead and do so because we couldn't set a precedent by putting it through council. So,
well, that doesn't matter. The motion is to receive. Now, if council wants to take it upon themselves to make a donation of their own, they can do so.
I'm just making the comment. That's all. That's all.
It doesn't stop it. The motion is to receive. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Consent other minutes, 3 minutes before council.
Councilor Pilon.
Move the minutes, item A to C, be received.
We're supportive for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Further discussion on that motion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried again unanimously.
Unfinished business items as of March 4th?
Seeing none? Go ahead.
Just wondering if it's appropriate to get a report from Mr. Zarlinga. If we have any, it's not on the agenda. Can we bring it up?
If it's unfinished business, go ahead.
Is this, through you, Mr. Mayor, to Lou. Lou, this diagram at the back of this report, is that a general, there's no,
Texas road.
Is that solid, etched in stone, or?
No.
Mr. Mayor, what was distributed were some timelines as far as Texas Road in the event that anybody had some questions, and there is a very generic prototype on the back of a diagram that shows potential road width, bike lanes, a pathway, and street lighting, and it is very general at this moment. What were seeing is that we have the Dave Archer in the audience from RC Spencer, and he's already looked at around 20 to 30 different options, and we've honed them down to something that we can start to work with, and that's what you're seeing.
Well, we would have, believe me, when it comes to that, we'll have a special meeting of council to deal specifically with what the options are. Councilor Sutton.
Just on the unfinished business, I believe item number 11 can come off.
Councilor Davies?
Further to the report that that was available for us for Texas Road, do we have a ballpark time? Oh, sorry. Do we have a ballpark time figure for an open house?
And that's why we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, because we're away from there.
Well, by May 7th. Yes,
Mr. Mayor, we would be looking at a public open house on May the 7th this year.
Okay. We're going to be on the move to get the dust flying as quickly as possible, rest assured. Anything else under unfinished? If not, new business. That brings us to the report of the in-camera session. Okay. Any notices of motions?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to present the following notice of motion. That we begin the process of permanently removing fluoride from the water system, which will result in substantial annual cost savings to the town of Amherstburg.
Thank you. Any further notice of the motion? Support for that?
Yes.
No, there's no support. It's just a notice. Any further discussions or any other notices of motion I should ask? That brings us to bylaws.
First bylaw 2013-23, bylaw to amend zoning, bylaw 1999-52.
It's your pleasure. Deputy Mayor Sutton.
Thank you. I move the bylaw 2013-23 being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 1999-52 being taken and read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and the clerk be authorized to sign the same.
Supported by Councilor Sutton. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, motion again carried unanimously.
Confirmatory bylaw 2013-26 for the proceedings on February 21st and March 4th.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that bylaw 2013-26 be read three times, finally, and passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same thereto.
Supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed, motion is carried. Next item.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Move to adjourn.
Support.
Supported by Councilor Sutton. All in favor? Opposed, motion is carried.